Okay.
Okay, good morning. Once again, this year is sponsored by OMO Construction and David and Paul of Elmser. We are on Brachos, Daf Lamed Aleph, Amid Aleph, the second to last chubby line in the middle, where it says Amar Abichia Bar Abba, the two dots. Amar Abichia Bar Abba. We've been talking about, and we're going to continue talking about various considerations about how to daven, the proper way of davening, to have good kavana, to be facing Yerushalayim, and all those kind of things. And we're going to pick it up, and we'll see on this next Amud, at least, starting at the bottom, a lot of the halachas that we learned about tefillah are learned from Chana. But we'll get to that in a moment. It's preferable to daven in a place that has windows. Shneamar, and the next few halachos are derived from Psukim in Daniel. The story with Daniel is that Darius made a decree that the Jews couldn't daven anymore. And Daniel defied the decree, and in the Psukim that describe how he defied the decree, talks about the way he would daven. He would say, I continue to daven in this way and in this way and in this way, just like I always used to daven. So these Daniel's description of how he would daven from it serves as a source for us for how we should daven. And so the first thing is that you should daven in a place that has windows, as it says in Daniel, v'kavin psichan lei, that it was open to me. Yachol yispal adam kol yom kulo. Maybe you think that you should daven all day long. Kfar mefurash ayde Daniel v'zimnin tlasa, because in Daniel when he describes how he would daven, he would say I daven three times a day, like we do. You might think that this was only after the Golas that this started, that this wasn't his prior practice. That's not true. Because this was the way he would daven always. You might think you should daven in any direction you want. That you should daven facing Yerushalayim, as we do. You might think that maybe it's more convenient daven, shacharis, mincha, and maariv all together, all at one time. That would be very convenient. You would never have to come back to shul again. What was that?
One shemon esrei.
One shemon esrei, maybe three shemon esreis. You just jam them all together. Yeah, lots of brachos. So we say, no, that's kfar mefurash ayidei david dechsiv erev avoker v'tzarayim. You got to daven, you have to spread it out throughout the day, morning, afternoon and evening, or evening, morning, afternoon. Yachol Yashmi. So now we're going to transition away from Daniel, and the source of our halachos is going to start to be Chana. If you remember, Chana was the wife of Elkanah. They couldn't have children. They went to the base of Megiddo Shiloh, where Eli was, Eli HaKohen, and she davened very, very strongly, with a lot of kavana for a son. And the end of the story was that Shmuel was born, and Shmuel ended up hanging out with Eli, and that was how he rose to greatness. So that tefillah was very efficacious, it worked, and we learned some of these halachas from Chana, as we'll see now. Yachal yashmia kolo b'tefillah, so you might think that you should daven out loud so your neighbor can hear you, everyone can hear you. Kfar mufurash ayidei Chana shenemar v'kolo lo yishama. It says that with Chana, she was moving her lips, but you didn't hear her tefillah, so we learned from that you shouldn't do it loudly. Yachol Yishol Adam Tzrachav V'achakach Yispalel. You might think that you should first say the Bakashos, first ask for the things that you're looking for, and then praise Hashem. Kfar Mufurash Ayidei Shlomo. We learn from Shlomo Melch Shenemar Lishmoa El Harina Ve'el HaTfila. To listen, that's the thing inscription above our Aron, I think, right? Mm-hmm. That you should listen to the song and to the prayer. Rina Zu Tfila. So it's funny, they use the tefillah, the Gemara uses the word tefillah in two different ways here. So Rina, song, means, tefillah means shvach, meaning praising Hashem. Tefillah zubakasha. And the word tefillah in the Pasuk is referring to asking. So Gishmoa el harina v'yal tefillah means that the order is first praising Hashem, the shevach, and then the tefillah, and then the bakasha. Ein omer davar Achar emes viatziv, or there's another girus here that says, Ein omer davar bakasha, achar emes viatziv. If you think about how tefillah is structured, so you have Shema, and then you have emes viatziv, and then that flows into Shemon Esrei. So don't say your bakoshos immediately after emes viatziv, or in the before the first three brachos of Shemon Esrei, where you're going to say your shvach. So, right, in other words, it's saying, say your Shvach, say the first three brachos of Shemar Esrei, and then you get into the middle brachos where it talks about all the bakashos, where the things you're requesting. Don't say it before that. Aval, however, achar atfilah, afilu kaseder vidu sheyom kippurim omer. Once you've discharged that section, you've said the Shvach, you've said the praises, so then you could say as much as you want, even if you want to go on and on and on asking Hashem for things even after Shemona Esrei is over, that's perfectly fine as well. Itmar Nami, consistent with this, we say, Amar Rabbi Yechiel Bar Ashi, Amar Rav, they quote Rav as saying, Af al pisha amru, shoal adam tzrachav b'shomei atfila, even though the ideal place to put your extra bakashos is in the brach of Shemona Tfila, in Balomar Achar Tfila, so afil kaseder yom kippurim omer. If you finish the Shemona Esrei and you realize you have more to ask for, and it will kind of netzor, or even afterwards, you could keep on asking for bakashos as long as you've discharged that initial requirement of saying Shevach to Hashem in the very beginning of Shemona Esrei. And we continue now with halachos about tefillah. Amar Rav Hamnuna, kama hilchasa gevurvasa iko mishma mehani krai dechana. There are so many halachos, great halachos, we can learn from these psukim dealing with chana. The pasuk says in the beginning of Shmuel, Shmuel Aleph, V'chana hi medaberes al liba, she was speaking on her heart. Mikan l'mispalo tzarech sheichavin libo, that you have to have kavana. Right, it says she was speaking from her heart, that means you have to have kavana. Don't just say the words. Rak sva seha na'os, the pasuk describes it as just her lips were moving, you couldn't hear what she was saying. Mikan l'mispalo sheyachtoch b'sfasav. This teaches us that you actually have to get the words out to some degree. Even though you're not supposed to say them out loud, you have to move your lips, you have to say them. V'kola lo yishama, and her voice wasn't heard. Mikan she'asur agbiya kolo b'tfiloso, as we saw above, you can't say it out loud. V'yachshave Eli l'shikora, so Eli saw this happening, and he thought that she was drunk from the fact that her lips were moving and nothing was coming out. And the fact that Eli thought that she was a drunk person, and that was a negative thing, we derive from there, mikan sheshikor aser lehispalo, that someone who is drunk cannot daven. You're not allowed to daven when you're drunk. Tosos on the next Amud points out that the standard for tefillah when you're a drunk person is a little different for Birkas HaMazon. Because as Tosos points out, Birkas HaMazon says, v'achalta v'savato v'erachta, savata means that you're satiated. So it kind of implies a more relaxed standard. Satiated means you're sitting back, you're rubbing your belly, you're all full. And so it's not so terrible if you're a little bit tipsy also. You could still say Birkas HaMazon. That's not true when it comes to davening. The standard is a little more elevated when it comes to davening. Although even davening, this comes up a lot when, you know, Purim night. Even if you're a little bit tipsy, I think we say you're allowed to daven as long as you're not drunk shechruso shalot, that you're like completely wasted.
The thinks that she actually made the reform. You could have thought Eli said, okay, she's not drunk, but apparently the Gemara thinks that from that time on, even Eli himself started davening silently, and that's actually a sore.
Yes, the whole part is very interesting. You're right, because Eli is baffled by what's going on, and so you'd think that anything he's viewing and baffled by is something we shouldn't do. But you're right, exactly right. It sounds like Eli himself kind of learned from this example.
Are there other Gemaras, I think it's well known that there are people, certain parts of the davening, that actually say out loud. Is this just according to Shemona Esrei?
Yeah, I think when we say the word tefillah, we're talking about Shemona Esrei. Yeah, that's right. And she wasn't saying Shemona Esrei. Certainly not the formula of Anshei Knesset Agdola, but she was saying Bakashos, which is the... Right, okay. She was saying Bakashos, which is that version of Shemona Esrei back then. Okay. And then it goes on and says, "Vayomer Eileha Eli, an masai tishtak run." Wait, how long are you going to be like this? Amar Rabbi Elazar, mikan l'roa b'chavero, davar she'eno hagun, tzarech lo chicho. From the fact that Eli criticized her and called her to task for this, we can derive the halacha that if you see your friend doing something inappropriate, that you should give hochacha, that you should tell them to improve, to tell them to do differently. Very interestingly, if you look at the top Tosfos, Davar Sheinu Algun, Tosfos says, Perush afagav d'laki isur d'oraisa. We're talking about even if there's no isur d'oraisa. If someone's violating a Torah prohibition, says Tosfos, I don't need this Gemara to tell you that you have to do halchacha, because there's a pasuk that says ochiach tochiach esamitecha. You're supposed to rebuke your friend if you see them doing an iser deraisa. What we learn from Eli is that you should rebuke someone or straighten them out, even if they're not violating an iser deraisa, Torah prohibition. That's what we learned from here. Then the Gemara continues, Vatan Chana Vatomer, Lo Adoni. Chana then turned around and said to Eli, no, you have it all wrong. I'm not drunk. I'm davening. Amar Ua, Vitem Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Amrale, she said to him, Lo Adona Tabedavar Zeh, you're not the boss of this thing, meaning you don't really know what's going on. Vlo Ruach HaKodesh Shorai Lecha. You clearly don't have Ruach HaKodesh because you're not intuiting what's really happening. Shata choshtani b'davar zeh, because you are suspecting me of this, of being drunk. Another version of this, Ikad Amri, Hachi Amrale, very similarly. Lo adon ata, you're not the boss here. Lav ika shchina v'ruach hakodesh gabeich, clearly you don't have the shchina with you, you don't have ruach hakodesh, because you don't know what's going on. Shandantani l'kaf chova, because you have assumed that I'm doing the worst. You haven't given me the benefit of the doubt. Don't you realize that I'm a person who's really in pain? I'm having a rough time. And I didn't drink any wine or any kind of alcoholic beverage. And on this, Amar Rav Elazar, Rav Elazar says, Mikan lenechshad b'davar she'inbo shetzarech lo'odio, that if you are suspected by someone improperly, falsely, someone suspects you of doing something wrong, and it's not true, you have to, don't just kind of slink away, you have to point out to them that they got it wrong, that they got it wrong.
It's interesting that it says, I think we say that in Kanesar, when Kalalai, not she, Sidon, she quiet. So of course, it's a big milo, so they just stay quiet, not to respond.
Yeah. I guess you have to think about the context. If you're right there and then, and someone's actually accusing you of something, you have to stand up for yourself.
Certainly, you would expect someone to respond upon being suspected of something.
Right, right. But more than that, the Gemara is saying that that's the proper thing to do. So this is Chana's continuing her response to Eli. Amar Rav Elazar. Mikan was shikor, and what does she say? Don't throw your maidservant to the bad doers. Mikan was shikor shemispal kilo over avodah zara. So Rav Elazar says that teaches you that someone who is drunk, in fact, and davens, it's as if they're over avodah zara, because we see a common language here. K'siv hach, here it says l'fnei bas b'liyal, to bad wrongdoers, evil doers. K'siv hasam. And when it's in the parsha of Irani Dachas, it says Yatsu Anashim Bnei Bugial Mikir Becha. Bad people went from your midst. Mala Alon Avodah Zara. It's talking about Avodah Zara. There, Avkan Avodah Zara. Here too, it's also talking about Avodah Zara. Vayan Eli Vayomer L'chilu Shalom. So Eli said, "Okay, go in peace." He kind of reconciles with her. Amar Rav Elazar Mikan L'choshed Es Chaveru B'Davar She'inbo. Someone who has improperly suspected someone Shetzarech L'Faiso. That he should say soothing words. Not only that, that he should give a bracha. That Hashem should answer your prayers. So there's a general. It's not quoted in Shulchan Aruch apparently, but there is a general idea that if you kind of improperly accuse someone of something else and then you realize you did it wrong, you give them a bracha. Then it goes on and says, Vatidor neder vatomer. This is still Chana speaking. She took a neder now. Vatomer Hashem tzvakos. And then she addresses Hashem as Hashem tzvakos. Amar Rabbi Elazar, miyom shabara HaKadosh Baruch Hu esolamo. From the very beginning of the world, lo haya adam shekro HaKadosh Baruch Hu tzvakos, ad shebasa Chana v'karasa tzvakos. No one had referred to Hashem as tzvakos until now. This was the first recorded time, or the first time at all, that anyone refers to Hashem as tzvakos. And what does she say? Amra Chana l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She says to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the World, Mikol Tzva'ei Tzvakos Shebarasa Be'olamecha. From all the legions and the malachim, whatever that you created, Kasha Be'necha Shetitin Li Ben Echad. Is it so hard for you to give me one son? You've created the whole world. You create all of humanity, all the malachim. You do so much, and you can't just give me one son? Mashal ma davar domer. This is similar, says the Gemara, with melech baser v'dam. to a king, who makes a feast for his servants. Ba'ani, he makes a big feast, lots of food, he's no holds barred. Ba'ani echad, ve'omer al ha-pesach, and now a very poor person comes and he stands by the door. Amar lahem, tenuli prusa achas. He says, can you please give me a small piece of bread, just some little piece from the suda. Ve'o alav, and no one pays any attention to him. Dachak v'nichnas etzel ha-melech, and now he pushes his way, makes it his way all the way to the head table, and he says to the king, Amar li adoni ha-melech, he says to the king, Mikol suda sha'asisa kash be'necho itin prusa achas, you have this whole vast suda arranged here. You've spared no expense. There's lots of food here, and you can't give me one little piece. So that's similar to Chana, who said, look, you created the whole world, Hashem. You can't give me one son. Imra otira. That's another quote from Chana's supplication. Amra of Lazar. Amra Chana lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Chana said to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the World. Imra'a mutav. Right, it's a double lashon. Imra otira. Imra mutav imlav tira elecha vestater bifnei elkana baili. What she was saying here, the imra otira, what this is hinting to is the fact that she made a kind of threat to Hashem. Look, if you answer my tefillos, then good. Give me a son and everything will be good. But if you don't give me my tefillos, if you don't answer my tefillos, you don't give me a son, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to seclude myself in the presence of Elkanah, my husband. I'm going to go with another man into a room. V'kevan de mistatarna mashkili mesota. And I'll be accused of being unfaithful to my husband. Then I'll have to go and drink of the mesota. I'll have to drink of the drink. Right? We know that if in fact the woman's guilty, her stomach explodes. But if she's innocent, she said, and I will not have actually done anything wrong with this man. And you're not going to be able to make your Torah lie. Shenemar v'niksa v'nizra zera. The pasuk says that if the woman who was accused of adultery turns out not to have been unfaithful and turns out not to have done anything wrong, so then she gets rewarded by having a child. So that's a good trick. She says, I'm going to kind of set myself up to be accused of adultery. I will not have done it, and then things will work out. I'll get a son. So the Gemara says that trick works according to the opinion that this is actually what that pasuk means, that you're going to have a son. Hanichel man diamar im haisa akara nifkades. Shapir. So that works according to the opinion that says that this accused woman, the sota, if she was barren, she then will have a child, so then that works. But there's another opinion which is to say which says that the naksa v'nizra zera doesn't mean that a barren woman will now have children. It just means that you get upgraded in terms of the quality of your children. That what? Im haisa yoledes betzar yoledes brevach. That if you used to have painful childbirths, now you'll have childbirths that are not as painful. Nikevos yoledes zecharim. If you used to have females, girls, daughters, now you'll start to have boys. I guess assuming that you prefer to have boys. Shechorim, the next three words are not the most politically correct. Shechorim yoledos yoledes levenim. If you had darker children, you're going to have whiter children. I guess in that region, that was kind of preferred. Having the Gemara in another place talks about kind of having pudgy, light-skinned children, it's a sign of health. So if you had kind of...
They didn't have Black Lives Matter
that back then. I guess not, right. So if you had darker children, you're going to end up with lighter, more healthy-looking children. Kitzarim, you had short children, Yoledes Aruchim, you're going to have longer children. And so according to that reading of V'naksa V'nizra Zera, Michael Amemar, what are you going to say? D'tanya, and here we have a brisa that kind of shows this specific machlokas clearly. D'tanya, Hakaros Kulon... That, right, the pasuk we just quoted, that this person who is improperly accused of being unfaithful, so then they're going to have kids. Rabbi Yishmael says that it means that they're going to now have kids if they were barren. Rabbi Kiva said to Rabbi Yishmael, Im kain, yelchul kol ha'karos kulan v'yistatru. So Rabbi Akiva intuited that everyone's going to do what Chana threatened to do. All the barren women are going to go set themselves up for this and end up having kids. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva goes for this alternative understanding. Rather, the pasuk means if you used to have painful childbirths, you'll have this you'll be unfit, not so painful. Kitzar, you'll have this aruchos, you'll have gone kid, taller kids. Shchor, you'll have this levenim, healthier, lighter kids. Echad, you'll have this shnayim, you'll have more kids, twins maybe. If you follow that interpretation of Rabbi Akiva, so then my Imra Otireh. We started this by saying that when it said, that Chana said Imra Otireh, she was expressing this threat that if you don't listen to me, if you don't answer my tefillos, I'm going to do this whole Sota trick. So rather, what is Ra Otireh? Dibra Torah Kalashom B'nai Adam. The answer is that you don't really have to darshan those psukim. Ra Otireh was just the way that she would speak. She would speak in kind of a double language. Bani Amasechel Al Tishkach. So the Gemara now shows that here she keeps on referring to herself as Amasecha, your maidservant, over and over again. Amasecha, Amasecha, Amasecha. So why? Am Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Gilan Amasos, Halo, Lam Amra. Why does he keep on saying Amasecha, Lam Amra Chana, Mufnei Kadosh Baruch Hu? Why does she say, I'm sorry, Lam Amra Chana? No, Lama, period. Shlosha Amasos Halalu Lama. Why does it keep on saying Amasos? The grand answer is Amra Chana Lufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chana said to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Shlosha Bidkei Misa Brasa Beisha. There are three things that determine whether a woman's going to die early. V'amri La Shlosha Divkei Misa, things that cause death. V'elohim Nidar, they're not doing them causes death. V'elohim, these are them. Nida V'chalav Adlaka Saner. Kulam Avarti Alachas Mehem. Right, we know from elsewhere, the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Lamed Beis says that there are three things that determine whether a woman is going to die during childbirth: whether she's careful about nida, whether she separates chal, whether she is careful about lighting candles. And so Chana says, "Kum avarti lachem yem, have I violated any of them?" And that's what she said. Writes again, so she's saying, please give me a baby. My Zera Hashem, what does that mean? Amrav Gavra Begovern. So Rav says it means a strong, a person, Tosva says, Adam Sheikh Chashiv Limanos Benin Hashem, a man's man, someone who's going to be of the stature that he's kind of counted among men. Shmuel Amr Zera Hashem Mosheach Shnei Hashem. It's referring to the fact that she was praying for a offspring that would ultimately anoint two people. Uman Inun Shaul v'David. Shmuel, in fact, went on to anoint Shaul and David as kings. Rav Yochanan Amar Zera Sheshakol Kishnei Anashim. Rav Yochanan says Zera, an offspring that's like kind of compared to two people. Uman Inun Moshe v'Aaron. Who is this referring to? Moshe Aaron. Shneimar, because the pasuk in Tehillim says Moshe v'Aaron b'Kohanav v'Shmuel b'Kari Shmo. So it's kind of parallel Shmuel on one side to Moshe and Aaron. That's what it means. That's what it means. Zera Nashim, Zera Shmuel, who's going to be compared to two people. Rabbanan Amri Zera Nashim Zera Shemuv LaBayna Nashim. She was davening for a offspring, for a son that would not stand out too much among people. Ki Aser Avdim Yamar Lo Arach Vol Goat. It's not someone who's too tall, not someone who's too short. Lo Katan Vol Ilay, not someone who's too small. Well, not someone who's a big rough guy. Well, tzachar, not someone who's too white. Well, yichur, not someone who's too red. Well, chacham, well, tibish, not someone who's too smart or too dumb. Rashi points out that if someone is kind of too wise or too has too much stature, that invites an ayin hara. People talk about him, and that's why she was davening for someone who's kind of doesn't stand out too much. Then it says, ani ha'isha nitzeves imachem bazeh. She says, I am the woman who is standing among you. Amar Yeshua ben Levi, mikanch asr leishev betoch arba amos shel tefila. This shows that you shouldn't sit. The fact that she was referring to Eli as being among you, standing among, shows that Eli wasn't sitting while she was standing. So this teaches you that you shouldn't sit within four amos of someone who is davening. Tosfos points out that this is true whether you are standing next to the person, or sitting next to the person, or sitting in front of the person. And then he quotes the Gaonim as saying that's only if you're standing, sitting and not doing anything of any importance. But if you're in shul and someone's davening Shemoneh Esrei next to you, you're saying Shema, meaning you're just up to a different point in davening. That's not a problem, says Tosos. Elanar Azel Yispalalti. She says, I davened for this nar. What does this mean? Amar Rav Elazar, Shmuel mora halacha lufnei rabo haya. Shmuel was accused of paskening in front of his Rebbe. Shenemar, vayishchatu ha-sapar vayuvu ha-sanar el Eli. They shechted the cow, they brought the boy to Eli. So the Gemara says, Mishum vayishchatu ha-sapar vayuvu ha-naras Eli. What's the connection between shechting an animal and bringing the boy to Eli? Rather, the Gemara says, this is what happened. Ela amar lahen Eli, kiru kohen, leisi v'lishchot. So Eli said to them, call a kohen, and he'll be able to shech. Meaning Eli wanted to arrange for a karban to happen, so he says, bring a kohen here so he could shech the Eli. Chazinu Shmuel davu mahadri basar kohen v'mishchot. And Shmuel was hanging around, and he saw they were scurrying around looking for a kohen to shech the animal. Amar lahu. And so Shmuel said, "Lama luchula adurei baser kohen l'mishchad? Why are you looking for a kohen to shecht it? Shchita bizar kashera. In fact, the halacha is that even a non-kohen is allowed to shecht a karban, which is actually the halacha. Aisu akame de'eli. So they brought Shmuel to Eli. Amr lei minolach ha. So Eli said, "Okay, that's very wise coming from this young man, this boy. But where did you learn that? How do you know that that's true?" Amr lei. So Shmuel said, "Miksiv vishachara kohen v'kruvu." Miksiv v'shachar ha-kohen. Does it say in the pasuk that the kohen should shecht? It doesn't say that. V'krivu ha-kohen k'siv. It says that the kohanim should bring the animal, which teaches you mikabala ve'elach mitzvah skuhuna. That the only thing that we're makbid on for that it be a kohen is from the receiving of the dam, catching the dam. From there, that's the point where you need a kohen. Mikam l'shchita shik sher bizar. But this teaches you that shchita can be done by a non-kohen. Amr lei, so Eli said to Shmuel, Meimar shapir ka'amris. He said, you're actually saying the right thing. Mihu mora halacha bifnei rabchat. You said the right thing, you said the right halacha, but you were mora halacha bifnei rabo, meaning you improperly taught the halacha in front of your Rebbe. V'chal mora halacha bifnei rabo chayav misa. And someone who is mora halacha bifnei rabo is Chayav Misa. So Chana was watching all this. Asya Chana v'katzavcha kamei ani aisha nitzavasi machem bazeh armo yishuvki dianche. She says, I'm here. They said that we're going to punish him. Vina racham yivyav v'raba minei. Right? They say we're going to punish him. Then don't worry, we'll give you a better son, which is kind of an extraordinary thing to say. So amrolei al anara zeh hispalalti. So she said, I davened for this nar. I wanted Shmuel. Don't kill my son and give me another one that's better. I'll stick with this one. Thank you very much. And that's what she said. Okay.
Did she stay there the entire time?
I guess she was there the whole time, or at least for this incident, she was there. V'chana hi medaberes aliba. Chana was, again, she was medaberes aliba amra. V'lazim ishum rabbi yosi bar zimra al iske liba amra. Al iske liba. She was talking about, she was making a very personal supplication on her own heart. Literally her own heart. Amra lefanav. So she said, Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the World, Kol Masha Barasa Beisha Lo Barasa Davar Echad Uvatala. Everything that you made in a woman, you didn't make anything that was not necessary. Einayim Liros, you made eyes to see. Vaznayim Lishmoa, ears to hear. Chotem Lahariach, nose to smell. Pe Ledaber, to speak. Yadayim lasos behen malacha, the hands to do things, ragacha lahalich behem, and here's the important, dadim lahanik behem, you made breasts in order to feed a child. Dadim alo shenasat alibi lama lo lahanik behem, you gave me these breasts, you're not giving me a child to feed them. Ten li ben vahanik behem, give me a son and I will feed him. Let's stop here just because I have a stomach ache, so I need to stop.
All right.
Okay? Shkoyach. We're at the end of the daf anyway. Okay, thanks.